Dr. H.A. Ironside, world-renowned Bible conference speaker and author of more than 40 volumes, and pastor of the great Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, gives an illustration of witnessing to a young man on a train.
When the train pulled in, I walked through the day coach, and I found there was just a half of one seat vacant, and a man was sleeping on the other half. So I sat down there. I was very much exercised in my soul. I felt there must have been some reason why God had allowed me to miss that train. I believed implicitly, as I still believe, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. And so I felt that he had someone on that train with whom he wished me to speak. I wondered if it could be the sleeping man beside me. I say sleeping, but the fact is that he roused himself just as I sat down. And he greeted me, and we exchanged a few words, and then were silent for a time. And finally, he woke completely up, and we began to talk together. And all the time I was praying, Lord, if thou hast something for this man, may I not miss the opportunity, but give me just the right message for him. Finally, as we talked along, I put the question straight to him. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He roused himself up and said to me, it's a remarkable thing that you should ask me that question. He said, you know, sir, I've been so anxious about this matter of salvation for some days that I've been working in a lumber mill down in the southern part of the state, and some folks were having revival meetings nearby, and I went over to the services, and I was quite impressed by the preaching. And felt that I was a sinner and needed a savior. And night after night, I went out to the mourner's bench, but somewhere or another, I couldn't seem to get anything clear. You know, as I dropped off to sleep here in the train tonight, I was wishing I could talk with someone who could make the way of salvation plain. Well, of course, it was a delight to take out my Bible and turn from passage to passage and show that young man just how he might find peace with God. And finally, as we turned to some of the great salvation verses of the New Testament, the light broke upon his soul. And he said, oh, I see it. Yes, Christ died for me. And if I trust him as my Savior, then the matter's settled. I said, yes, that's it. Well, he said, I do trust him. I can take him now. And we bowed our heads together, and he thanked God for his saving grace, and I thanked him for giving me the privilege of being his messenger to that earnest young man. We talked together for perhaps an hour or so, and then he came to the place where he was to leave the train. I bade him goodbye and went on my journey northward. For two or three years after that, I heard from him every little while, and it was delightful to see how he seemed to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I telling you this story? Well, just for this reason. I'm wondering if it might not reach someone who, like that young man, is asking, how may I be saved? I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is deeply interested in you. He's longing to see you saved. And he says, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And if you'll but come to him in all simplicity and trust him now as your Savior, you too may say, thank God, I know now that Christ died for me.
Dr. Charles E. Fuller, the founder and director of the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, has been heard by millions around the world. Listen to the voice of Dr. Fuller as he reads from the Word of God and comments on the Scripture.
Now please take your precious Bible and open it to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. You'll enjoy the message much more and learn much more if you have your Bible open and read with me. And Jesus went out from the temple and was going on his way, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. But he answered and said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, these shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, last week, you may recall, we gave you the background, the general picture revealing the reasons why we find the statement in Matthew 24, 1. These words, and Jesus went out from the temple and was going on his way. We noted especially in Matthew chapters 21 to 23, just to give a brief picture, the temple had become a den of thieves, money changers robbing the people, changing their money from their usual government money to the sacred coin of the temple. Jesus, confronting the Sadducees who denied the resurrection of the dead, pronouncing woe upon the Pharisees who are so careful to keep their outward appearance clean, robes of self-righteousness, but inwardly were vipers, hypocrites. Imagine what a shock it must have been to the disciples to see the Master weeping over the city of Jerusalem, and then to see him leaving the temple, turning his back upon all that the temple stood for, especially the presence of God. Then at this point, one of the disciples tried to cheer and comfort the Master by attempting to show him the beautiful buildings. By the way, Solomon's temple, if we figured in even in the money of those days, cost $5 billion, not millions, $5 billion of dollars. A beautiful temple. And here the disciples received another shock, for the Master said unto the disciples, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now 40 years later, that remark to you last week, the Roman army under Titus besieged the city of Jerusalem, sacking the city and the temple.
Dr. R.G. Lee, the famous pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church, Memphis, Tennessee, gives his salvation experience, and then we hear an excerpt from his famous sermon, Payday Someday.
I was raised on a farm, very poor old farm. I used to say it's so poor you couldn't hardly raise an umbrella on it. We always had time for preaching, and we had what we called in those days a protracted meeting. It would start without any definite statement as to when it would close. Sometimes it went from 1 to 3 weeks. Well, I was on the farm at that time, and we had a protracted meeting, and I went to church every night, and one night the preacher preached on, if the doors of heaven were open, could you enter? He said, you could not enter if you didn't have Christ as your Savior. Well, that stuck to my mind and in my heart very trenchantly. Then the next night I went back, he preached on the text, what then shall I do with Jesus who's called a Christ? And he said, you can do only one of two things with him. You can say yes or no, you can accept or reject, you can crucify or crown him. Well, I got under conviction of sin at that time. I was 11 years and 9 months old. And that night I didn't sleep very much, and the next morning at the breakfast, my mother said to me, Bobby, look like you didn't sleep much last night. I said, no, Mother, I didn't. I said, I'm an awful sinner. She said, oh, you're not an awful sinner. You're a good boy. I said, you've never given me any trouble. That was all she said, and I went out plowing that day. I plowed a little old white mule by the name of Barney. And he didn't have any angelic qualities, I told him at all, especially in his heels. And I got under this conviction. I was so miserable, I drove out to the end of the row, dropped the reins, and went out in the old fence corner, took off my straw hat, and I got out on my knees, and I asked the Lord to save me. I said, Lord, I'm miserable. I don't want to feel like this, and I want to be like this. I said, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. If you save me, I'll do anything you want me to do the rest of my life. And God saved me out there in that old fence corner. And that night I went to church again and made my public confession of faith in Christ. Went down, they were singing that sweet old hymn, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow Night, Into Thy Freedom, Gladness, and Light, Jesus, I Come. So, making my public confession of faith in Christ, I was baptized on August the 5th, 1898. And just recently I went back to my little home boy town church. I wrote and asked the preacher, the only time in my life ever I asked any preacher to let me preach in his church. I wrote him and told him I'd baptized August the 5th, 1898, and I'd like to preach that Monday night, August the 5th, 1968, in my hometown church. He let me come, and I preached. We had a big crowd, and they gave me a silver bowl, and that's a testimony about God saving me, and he's never failed me on anything since he saved me.
Now listen to an excerpt from the sermon, Payday someday.
God's payday train is coming in the station. All the powers of hell can't take out the steam or put on the brakes. And when Jezebel knew that it was Jehu, she tied her head, that painted her face, put in her earrings, put on her necklaces and her bracelets and her silks. And when Jehu drove in the gate, she looked out from way up there in the upstairs window of the palace. And in haughty disdain, she said to Jehu, "Had Zimri a piece who slew his master?" And Jehu, looking up at this painted viper of the nation, said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And he saw some eunuchs at another one, and he said, "Take her and throw her down." These men ran and put their strong men's fingers in a soft woman of flesh and picked her up, tired head and all, painted face and all, jewels and all, silks and all, and pitched out the window down to the street, and down she came, and her body broke and burst, and some of her blood dashed on the legs of Jehu's horses, and some of it on the walls of the town, and he trod her underfoot. That is, he drove his horses and chariot over her and stopped and looked at her, hissing like a serpent in the fire in her death agonies. And he went in to eat. While he's eating, he suddenly stopped and said to some of his soldiers, "Go out there and get that cursed woman and bury her, for she's a king's daughter."
The voice of Sherman Robinson was heard by thousands in the tri-state area each Sunday evening over the broadcast The Back Home Hour, originating from the Highland Park Baptist Church. Sherman Robinson was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. He was also treasurer for the city of Chattanooga for a number of years. Sherman, each Sunday evening, would read a poem and dedicate it to the shut-in listeners. Listen as Sherman Robinson reads one of his favorite poems.
My father's hand may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave the rest to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake.
The Union Gospel Mission, located at 1260 Market Street in downtown Chattanooga, is supervised by two men, Mr. Willis Riley and Mr. Paul Rowden. For a few remarks about the work of the Union Gospel Mission, and to lead us in a word of prayer, here is Mr. Paul Rowden.
"For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost," Luke 19:10. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake," 2 Corinthians 4:5. I'd like to report that since the mission began in February of 1950, through this year, 12,414 people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Our Father, I pray that this recording will be a real blessing to everyone that hears these wonderful voices. I pray and ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.